my relationship with my mom has been the most heartbreaking thing for me.
I can't imagine.
Yeah, and I've been in relationships with people, and it hasn't broken my heart in the way that my relationship with my mom has broken my heart. And it's one of those relationships that I've yearned for.
I know.
Yearned for. Yeah.
And having to mourn the kind of mother you wish you had while someone is still alive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tell me you're proud of me.
Yeah, just tell me.
Tell me you love me. Can you give me a hug? Just a hug.
Yeah.
And even a side one, I'll accept it.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can't even get that.
Hey everybody, my name is Nozibele Kamgana Mayaba. Welcome to Don't Hold Back. This is where we say it loud. This podcast is in collaboration with DW, Jacaranda FM and East Coast Radio. Wow, okay, let's get into it. Mother wound. What happens when the one person that is meant to love and protect you is the one person that inflicts the deepest pain? How do you get over that? Today, I have someone that, I'm going to tell her how I met her. I met her before I even met her, and how she evoked so many feelings that I did not realize I have so much that I need to deal with. And I thought I'd already dealt with all of that. But yeah, I admire her so much. She has her own journey regarding mother wound. She has written a book. She is a coach. I am so happy to welcome, ladies and gentlemen, Moshitati Lehlomela.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am good. Okay, before we get into it, it is a tradition on the show that a guest brings a snack.
Yeah.
You're not going to tell me why you brought the snack. Just tell me what it is, and then we're going to go into the why much later on.
Okay.
Okay. What did you bring?
I brought you a lunch bar.
Yay! Lunch bar. I love chocolates.
Do you?
Yes.
That's good then.
I'm supposed to be on a diet. Like for the 100 million time.
The diet.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Diet.
She said I must drop the diet, so I'm dropping the diet. Okay. Listen, so your publicist reached out to me and she's like, hey, Moshitati has written another book. It's coming out. Literally the first thing I said was like, no, she cannot do that again.
Yeah.
She cannot do that again. I'm still reliving from all the emotions that I felt from the first book. I'm not sure if I told you the story, but I would like to repeat it.
Yeah.
I walked into Exclusive Books about 2 years ago looking for my next read. And here was the book, The Girl Who Survived Her Mother.
Yeah.
Stopped me dead on my tracks.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, okay. And at that time, it was so funny how it happened, because it was right after I'd had my son, Ulumi. I'm a first-time mom. Mm-hmm. I don't know half of what I'm doing most of the time. Yeah. I'm in Johannesburg only with my husband. And my mom was not able to be with me. And it was such a weird time. It was such an emotional time. And I was dealing with emotions that I thought I'd already dealt with many years back, particularly regarding the relationship that I had with my mom.
Yeah.
And then here you were with this book. I literally went on my Facebook page and I said, I'm not sure whether I'm ready to read it, but here goes. And I remember the status was shared about 2,000 times and hundreds of comments, people sharing their own stories regarding the relationships that they have with their own mothers. So for someone that is being introduced to your story for the first time, what inspired you to write The Girl That survived her mom?
I was writing about the mother wound a lot on social media because it was the work that I do. It was something that I just felt pulled into. I mean, I realized that I had a mother wound in varsity. I was having this depression and anxiety. And I thought, maybe I'm just struggling with school. But it was a lot of things. I felt alone. I felt defective. It was a whole lot of things. And it just felt like this weight. And I remembered that, hey, there's like a psychology department here. And you can go if you're struggling.
Yeah.
And I went into there and this woman just sat there and allowed me to speak, and I was just crying.
Mm.
I feel alone and this and this and that. And the first session was just me crying pretty much for an hour.
Mm.
And the next time I saw her, we got to speak more. She wanted to know about my childhood. And I was just like, why are you asking about my childhood?
Mm.
I mean, I'm struggling with depression and anxiety, and I'm in this place. I'm not home. And she wanted to go back there. Mm. And that's when I realized that a lot of things that happened were not supposed to have happened.
Mm.
And I remember she would say things like, I'm sorry that happened to you. And I'd be like, I'm sorry?
Mm.
What are you talking about? Mm. It that happened to everyone that I know.
Mm.
This is normal where I come from. And so I got to realize that a whole lot of things that had been normalized
okay.
had actually wounded me.
Yeah.
Right? And then I got a job and I was like, I'm fine. I'm
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, it just kept going and I could see it in my relationships and other places.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, maybe I need to take this seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And the more I started to do the work and to confront my relationship with my mom, because in general, I love to write.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be on Twitter going, oh, you know, my therapist said this and that.
Right.
Or I read this book and I found this and that. And it just became this thing where people are like, can I talk to you?
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I'm not a therapist. Maybe you should speak to a therapist. Yeah. They're like, well, I have been in therapy, but I have never met someone who could relate, who I didn't have to explain myself to, who I could just tell my story in a way that makes sense to them.
Yeah.
And that's how the work got to be born. And yeah, I just was doing the mother wound work and I was speaking about it and I was researching more about it. And I think the commissioning editor saw all of that.
Okay.
And they're like, oh, do you think you can write a book about your story specifically, because I get bits and pieces of it when I am reading your stuff, but I would like to know more about what that looks like. And I remember thinking, what would that even look like?
Yeah.
And I was speaking to a friend of mine and they said, I think you should do it.
You know, I was reading your new book, Healing and the Mother Wound, right? And there's an interesting thing that you do, especially in the introductory chapter, where after each section, you basically have a checklist of, has this happened to you? Has this happened to you? Have you experienced any shouting and physical abuse or any form of abuse? To some degree, I was like, well, at least, like, I think everyone might take one or two things. Does that categorize as everyone having a mother wound? But more so, I want to specifically for someone who's like, ah, man, everyone has had issues with their parents. It, like, it's never that deep. Here we are, we're thriving.
Yeah.
Why was it so deep? What was the, honestly, the relationship that you had with your mom that you can say, man, that was not normal.
Yeah.
This was beyond shouting.
Yeah.
This was beyond her saying this. What was it about your relationship with your mom that was out of the ordinary?
You know what? I think also it has to do with personality.
Mm.
I mean, you could have two kids and this other one just doesn't care.
Yeah.
Right. And you're shouting and they're like, they become an adult, they're like, oh man, she was shouting and it's fine. And there's this other one who was wounded by that. And I think much of it has to do with personality. I think I'm just a very affectionate, loving, and I needed that from my mom. And she just couldn't give that. And I think when I was growing up, my mother was really depressed.
Mm.
I think my mother was struggling with a lot of things.
Yeah.
One, not achieving her dreams. I don't think she wanted to be a mom.
Mm.
There was a lot of things that she found herself in. And I became the punching bag for that. And as someone that needed her love the most, I think of all my siblings, I actually needed my mother a little bit. Even as an adult, I think I was always like, honey, I was always the one that's trying to be closer, to have a relationship with her. And I think that's where the personality thing comes into play. But I think in general, my mother, because she hadn't filled her own cup, she just couldn't fill my own as a child who needed to be nurtured by her. And it showed up in the many ways. The shame that she was struggling with became my shame. I mean, my entire childhood, she would tell me, you'll never amount to anything. And as I got older, I was like, oh, it's because she felt that she hadn't amounted to anything. And that was just projection in some way. So a lot of the things that she had not confronted in herself, she projected onto me.
Mm-hmm.
And too often we think that's just normal, right? People are like, oh, we're going to be, I mean, you have a job, you have this and that, you can run a company, you are fine. And it's like, am I?
That does not fill the void at
it,
all.
It doesn't.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, I'm not.
No.
And it got to a point of, I need to listen to what I feel and honor that. And I think that's where the healing came from.
Yeah.
Just radically accepting that I, as Mushi Daddy, this wounded me.
Mm.
1, 2, 3 are a symptom of this particular thing that happened. And I need to take these steps towards healing that. So I think that the personality part actually plays a role in that.
I definitely relate to that.
Yeah.
Because I had an aha moment like a couple of years ago. I'll say once again, after Lumi was born, when I was trying to deal with all these emotions that are just coming up, like out of nowhere. And one of the things, this grace that I give Umama, right? But also understanding that, but still that didn't need to happen.
Yeah.
There's grace that I'm giving her, but also that didn't need to happen.
Yeah.
So the grace comes from understanding. I'm reminded of what you just said, her not having been able to achieve or to amount to anything.
Yeah.
And then having to see you amounting to everything probably she ever wanted for herself.
Yeah.
And she's slapped with that every day.
And sometimes you're so like her. You are.
Right?
You know, and they're like, this child, I was just like you.
I know.
And I have not been able to do one thing I wanted to do. Yeah.
Because literally, I was like, oh no. The reason why she feels like this is because she sees herself in me.
Yeah.
And she keeps on thinking, oh, if I would have been afforded the opportunities that she was afforded, I could have also been so far in life.
Definitely.
It's just that she could not articulate that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's why she would just lash out.
Yeah. And it's that, because the self-awareness is not there. They don't have the language for it. So it just shows up as these intense emotions. When they're interacting with you, they can't say, okay, what I'm feeling right now is jealousy, right? They don't have the language for that, right? So whatever they're feeling in that moment, the frustration, the anger, that it must be valid.
Mm.
It must be because this child did something, right? And they can, you know, make that make sense to them. But I think a lot of our mothers are struggling with a lot of things that they have to confront. And I think that's just really what brings us to being good parents, is having the awareness to say, I'm struggling with this.
Yes.
It has nothing to do with this child in front of me. And I think they just didn't have the capacity for that awareness and the language for it as well.
The one thing I always understood was part of healing is being afforded the opportunity, let's say, to sit down with someone and say, hey, this is how this made me feel.
Mm.
You remember what you said like a couple of years ago? It's still stuck with me, and it's still making me feel some sort of way.
Mm.
Unfortunately, I'm not sure if this is the case with your own mom as well. With my mom, you're not going to get that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're not going to get the opportunity to even to date.
Yeah.
So how does healing happen in the absence of, let's say, an apology or an absence of some kind of reconciliation or acknowledgement of what happens?
Radical acceptance.
Okay.
And I say this to people all the time. I think people think they need the apology or they think they need to forgive, but they really just need to radically accept this happened. This is who my mother is. Mm. If she changes in the next 5 years, great. But if she doesn't, it's also still fine. I've accepted this is who she is.
Mm.
And when you get to that point of radical acceptance, I think you take your power back.
Yeah.
You stop needing her to give you something for you to move forward. And because you stop needing her to give you that thing to move forward, then you take the steps that help you move forward in a way. So radical, and this is one thing that most people struggle with. And I think this is why the first few chapters in the book are pretty much just gearing you towards that point to say, okay, this is happening. This is happening. This is your relationship with your mom. You have to decenter her at some point. You're an adult. I think we don't recognize that we are women now, heads of households now. And we have to carry ourselves as such. Mm-hmm. And when we still are looking to our mothers to mother us in a way that we need it as children, we can't graduate to that. You don't even need that apology.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like you need it,
mm-hmm.
but you don't.
Mm-hmm.
And also because a lot of us are not going to get it.
No.
And I've met people who've gotten it, but it was calculated.
Yeah, yeah.
It's, I want you back in my life, or I want you to do 1, 2, 3
Absolutely.
For me. And so I know you're angry at me, so I'm just going to give you this apology so that I can get what I want. So for a lot of people, just radically accept. And it's so hard because it forces you to come to terms with who your mother is, to see her and be, okay, this is where we are. This is who you are. And I'm choosing to live with this. and it could be hard, but you have to do it.
So I've openly talked about the complex relationship that I've had with both my parents, dad and mom. Mm. It's just that dad passed away and obviously my mom is still alive. I've talked about so many different things, black tax and all of that. Mm. And one of the questions that I get asked is, so what has been the response from Umama when you talk openly about this?
Yes. What has been the response?
And I'm like, she hasn't said anything, you know? Honestly, she's never said anything. Mm-hmm. But also because I think there's rebellion that I think at this age I have, where I'm like, yeah, it is what it is, okay?
Yeah.
I it's not like I'm lying.
I mean, that's, you know, the growing up.
You did take part of a lot of my money. That's a reality. I'm not lying. So I'm interested to know for you, how was her response with your books, with your work, with your advocacy?
I don't know. I mean, I've been no contact with my mom for quite some time.
How many years?
Almost 5 years.
No contact.
The last time was 2020. I mean, there's been things that have happened in the family where I've had to be in conversation with her. I think it was my younger sister's graduation. I'm not going to miss the important things in some of my family members. There's going to be a wedding. So there's been places where we've had to meet and have conversations. But she knows that there is, ma'am, if we're going to have a relationship, I need to know that I'm safe with you. And for as long as that remorse doesn't exist, that safety is not created, right? Because I've never felt safe in my relationship with you this entire time. And I've communicated this with you. And so if we can't get to that point, it means you don't value the relationship. Mm. Because if you did, that's what I asked. Mm. That's simply all I asked. I want to be met with, hey, I know this and this happened. You don't even have to remember some of the things because sometimes our parents don't remember.
Yeah.
But I need the safety to exist now for that relationship to happen. And I think this is where a lot of people find themselves when they're struggling to form a healthier relationship with their parents, is that there's so many things that happened. And you're saying, you know what? I don't even care about those things anymore. Mm. I want a relationship with you now. And what I need is, can I trust you?
Yes.
Right? Are you not going to triangulate me in the ways that you used to triangulate me? Mm. Right? Are you not going to attempt to parentify me again with your children? Mm. Are you going to do this and that? You know, just can we create that safety and trust if we're going to move forward? And I think we're not afforded that in our relationships with our parents.
Yeah.
Is you just have to accept it as it is. But you know what? I think about it and I'm like, my relationship with my mom has been the most heartbreaking thing for me.
I can imagine.
Yeah. And I've been in relationships with people and it hasn't broken my heart in the way that my relationship with my mom has broken my heart. And it's one of those relationships that I've yearned for.
I know.
Yearned
for. I know.
For.
I know.
Yeah.
And having to mourn the kind of mother you wish you had while someone is still alive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tell me you're proud of me.
Yeah, just tell me.
Tell me you love me. Can you give me a hug? Just a hug, son. Even a side one, I'll accept it.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can't even get that. Yeah. And people are like, oh, no, but you got this particular thing. And you're like, if anyone in my life said to me, hey, I bought you an apple 2 years ago and you should be happy with that, you'll be like, oh, that person is breadcrumbing you. That person is not loving you. But when it's a mom, you guys are saying it's okay to be breadcrumbed. You know, just accept it. This is how it's supposed to be.
Or sometimes having to decode messages.
Yes, that's love. That must be love.
No. That's what she meant. Mana, we have time.
Did she say that? Right? But did she say that? So it's very complicated. And I think our generation is doing a great job in creating room for these conversations. And I think future generations of kids are going to feel a bit safer to have these conversations with us.
I want to play a game with you. It's called Rapid Fire Questions.
Okay.
First thing that comes into your mind, don't think too much about it. Okay.
Okay.
First question, one word to describe the mother wound.
Torturous.
The biggest myth about moms and daughters.
I think it comes from misogyny. Women hate each other. Mm. Women can't exist together. Mm. Women can't be happy.
Yeah.
occupying the same spaces.
Or naturally, girls gravitate more towards their fathers than their mothers.
Yeah.
No,
that's not true. That's not true. I've wanted to.
Yeah.
I wanted my mom closer.
That's not true.
Yeah.
One habit that helps you heal.
Taking it slow. Not rushing.
Yeah. Yeah. A phrase you tell your clients when you're stuck. When they're stuck.
When they're stuck. You've already done great work so far. You're not new to self-mothering. Mm. Maybe the coping mechanisms that you have developed are not healthy, but you've been doing your best trying to protect yourself, trying to nurture yourself. Well, it's not a phrase. It's a whole long paragraph. But I don't think people realize that even the coping mechanisms that they had as children come from having wanted to nurture themselves, protect themselves. Mm-hmm. And now we could just learn new ones.
Yeah.
But we're not new to this reparenting.
Absolutely.
Thing. Yeah.
The first step to loving yourself better.
Radical acceptance of yourself where you are. I don't think you can shame yourself into loving yourself. Mm-hmm. This is it. You are here now and then we could work with this. But you have to accept it.
For people that have had similar experiences to us, a lot of extremes happen.
Yeah.
It's either they don't want children
because
of their own personal experiences having grown up in those circumstances or backgrounds. Or when they eventually do have children, they overcompensate.
Mm.
They suffocate with love.
Yes.
They relive their own childhood through their children. I've often wondered, especially after I read your book, what has been your journey thinking about motherhood, wanting children, thinking about the kind of mother that you would like to be?
Yeah.
Where are you with regarding that?
I think for the longest time, I was like, oh, at least no.
Yeah.
And also, it was just also exhaustion, not just my mother wound, just also the parentification, the fending for yourself, trying to... It was just a lot. You get to a point where you're like, you know what? When do I just get to pour into myself?
I know.
You know, if I bring another a child into this world, then I have to focus on them. After I just focus on these ones, can I have a moment here where I try to figure it out? So I think I went from the kids, nobody wants this, to feeling so healed that there is room for it, but also... healed enough to say, if it doesn't happen, I'll be fine.
That's beautiful. I love
right?
that.
If it happens, that will be great. And I find a partner that I really love, that I want to have a family with. Mm. That will be awesome. But also, I've created such a beautiful life for myself. Yeah. I'll be fine.
Yeah.
I have friends who love me. I have a community. Mm. I'll be okay.
Mm.
So I think I'm just in that place of like contentment.
Mm.
I think so. Mm. Yeah.
You introduce an interesting concept in your book called reparenting.
Yes.
Tell me about that. And how do we reparent? Are we parenting ourselves?
Yes.
Talk me through it.
So, well, people have to read the book.
Yes.
It's based on that, just the concept of self-mothering. Where do you start? Because oftentimes people ask me, what is the first thing that I do if I wanted to reparent myself? And I'm like, we start very simple. I want you to just take care of your body.
Yeah.
Right? Let's just start there.
Yeah.
As if you're an infant that needs you to pay attention to what they eat, if they're sleeping, if the energy around them. So let's start there from our knowledge of how an infant is supposed to be taken care of. Pretend you're an infant. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's like ultimately what we need also, just to be babied.
Yes, please.
Right?
I'm only a girl.
So start there to reparent yourself in that way. And then we take it a step further into the work of decentering the mom. You're recognizing that I'm not going to get the love that I need from my mom, right? And so I could stop looking there and actually evoke my own inner mother, right? But that also means now you have to reconnect with your inner child.
Mm.
But one thing that most people do not focus on that I've realized is the grief part.
Yeah.
There's so many emotions that have been accumulated since you're a child, right? And what I do in this book is categorize them.
Yeah.
So We are dealing with shame, and then we're dealing with guilt. This is what guilt looks like. These are the ways that it manifests, right? People pleasing, not setting boundaries, and all of those things. All of that falls under the emotion of guilt, right? Mm-hmm. You want to manage other people's emotions, so you don't want to say no because it'll make them mad, mm-hmm. right? You want to make everyone happy. That's why you're a people pleaser. And then we get into fear and then anger and just making room for those emotions that have been shunned, that we were shunned from experiencing as children. You were not allowed to be angry at your mom.
Mm-mm.
You would get more hitting or more something. They'll give you something to cry about, something to be angry about. So there's a lot of emotions that have been accumulating since we were children that we make room for in the conscious grief part.
Yeah.
And this is you saying, I, as my own mother, I am going to hold you, my inner child, with this care, with this, I'm going to nurture you and allow for your emotions to exist in a way that you were not allowed as a child. And then we also get to the work of allowing your inner child to have an expanded sort of relationship with joy.
Mm-hmm.
Because what we speak about is like, oh, people are afraid of their grief, but people are also afraid of joy.
Yeah.
There's so many people who just won't allow themselves to get to a certain point. I have a family member who loves saying, you know, if you're too happy, you're going to cry.
I know.
Right?
Or if you're too happy, something is going to happen.
Something is going to happen. Something so you have to curb it somewhere and never allow yourself to get to a certain point. But it becomes so encoded in our nervous system to a point where you have people achieving things and not being able to feel the pride.
Yeah.
Not feel the joy. So from that grief, then we get to this part of the work to say, okay, we've released a lot of what has been happening, right? Those emotions. Now let's make room for emotions that we would like to embody a little more. And then it could become peace as well. I mean, I know that people struggle with peace as well.
Yeah.
There are people who just want to create chaos everywhere
because that's what they're used to.
And if they find a peaceful person, they must create chaos in that person's life because they just... It makes them uncomfortable. So it's that offering your inner child the space to feel, to be human. You are coming back to your humanity, something that you were shamed out of being, because that's pretty much what it boils down to. Not allowing a child to cry, not allowing a child to have feelings, not allowing a child to even be an adolescent.
Yeah.
Like, just to be curious, to have questions, to... All of those things that are part and parcel of being human, a lot of us were not allowed to be that.
Mm-hmm.
And reparenting brings us back to that. But you know, you're fine. You're okay. And you can learn better ways to do things. But mm-hmm. as a human being, there's nothing wrong with you.
One of the things that I came to realize is, you know, why certain things happen or why you behave a certain way.
Yeah.
I shop a lot for my people, but also there's a level of me buying people's love.
Oh, yeah.
I overcompensate. Oh, you need this? I'm there. You need me at this time? No worries. I'll leave everything to be there. I mean, it's nice. It comes naturally.
Yeah.
But definitely there's a layer of me having to buy your love so that you see my value in your life.
Yeah.
And you realizing, oh, I can't get rid of her
because she brings
so much value in my life.
Mm.
And I realized, no, it's because of still that lack of acknowledgement and to some extent love that I lack somewhere, you know. So I guess where I'm heading to is, for you, what has been your aha moment in your own healing, things that you've learned about yourself? Maybe patterns now as an adult that you still have, that you pinpointed that, no, actually it comes from back then.
Mm.
Yeah.
Almost something similar. And in the book, I categorize that under guilt, the thing of trying to perform for love, for me is I'm so helpful.
Mm.
I'm such a helpful human being.
So you're going to need me.
Yeah. You want a job, you know, I'm going to apply for you. I'm going to do your CV. I'm going to do this and this for you. I'm just going to show up and like give everything, you know, but I've learned to chill, take a chill pill now. And I think that's also one of the biggest lessons that I learned this year, because there was a lot of people that I was like, I'm so helpful to this person. and they betrayed me, whether it was in business or friendship, whatever. And I was like, you know what? Maybe I'm learning that I need to chill out, you know, allow people to do things for me as well. And also just look into the relationships that are already offering me the sort of love that I need and pour into that.
Correct.
As opposed to trying to find more people to give to, because then also I'm spreading myself way too thin, right? My community's here. Love these people. They're already here. So there's that, but there's also the joy thing. I mean, I remember in 2022, I just like, you know, this year I am going to focus on just bringing more joy into my life because I couldn't allow myself. I couldn't allow myself. The shoe was going to drop. I needed to be chill about this. I could be seeing something that I think it's so beautiful and I'd be like, cool.
Not for when.
You know, it's not that bad. And now I allow myself to be in awe of things, to have experiences. And also one of the ways that I do that is making sure that I do not drink even like a sip of wine or whatever if I'm going to experience something that I've been looking forward to. I'm going to speak to Nosy.
Nice.
I'm not going to, because I want to be
in the moment.
I want to know the signature of this joy in my body, you know, and experience that to the fullness that I can go back to it without it being contaminated by other things. So I make sure that I'm sober for my experiences so that I can enjoy them. So the joy thing and just overperforming. But the performing thing, I think I'm taking it easy now.
Good.
Yeah.
So last question before we go into the snack.
Yeah.
If I had to, for example, say to someone, listen, block out the noise.
Yeah.
Whatever your mom says or whoever says, block out the noise. Don't take it to heart. It's quite hard when this person is being faced with that situation every single day.
Yeah.
They're still living with their mom.
Mm.
They're still dependent on their mom. So I want you briefly to speak to that someone who's still like knee deep in that situation. How do you think your book will still be able to help?
Yeah. So the book actually gives you tools and coping mechanisms around how to deal with different things in your life. And obviously we want you to eventually be away from that environment. And this is also something that I want people to understand, that when you are still in it, you can only cope.
Yeah.
But you can heal once you're out of it. I mean, it's the same thing with like these traumatic romantic relationships. When you're still in it, in the thick of it, it's very difficult to say I'm healing. You can cope with it. You can find ways, pockets of joy outside of this relationship. But only when you're out of it can you actually even make sense of what was happening. You can look back and say, actually, what was that? Right? So a lot of people who are still in that situation have to understand that we are coping with what is happening, but we have to find a way out of the abuse. Because you don't want to live like this for the rest of your life. You don't want to be abused for the rest of your life. So if you are still in that situation and you're thinking to yourself, how do I deal with my mom? Mm. You have to find a community outside of your relationship with your mom. Yeah. And one that isn't part of what I call the mother web.
Yes.
So the mother web is just, could be church people who just revere your mom so much that you can't go to them and say, my mom is abusing me, because they'll say, no, not Deaconess so-and-so, you know? And other people in the family also that you can't go to. So you have to really be intentional about creating a community outside of your relationship with your mom. And I think it helps to be part of support groups of people who are struggling with the same thing, because then you have people who validate your emotions, who will say, you're not alone. Actually, this is not normal. This is not what is supposed to be happening to you. I think also that gives you permission to say, you know what, my situation is dire and I have to find a way out of this. So you have to find a community outside of that. You have to find pockets of joy outside of that relationship. And I think sometimes you, and this is why people say people leave with their minds and their energy and whatnot before they actually leave.
Yeah.
You can leave before you actually
leave. I love that.
Right? And that relationship just sort of falls to the back because you have all these other people that you are in relationship with who are pouring into you.
I love that. Okay, let's get into the snack.
Yes.
Why did you bring this in?
Well, you know, the funny thing is I wanted to bring her an avocado.
Yeah.
And because I
think it's also from Limpopo.
Because I'm from Limpopo, and when I was in varsity, everyone was like, bring us avocados whenever you went
to Limpopo. Avocado, mangoes.
But we couldn't get an avocado for some reason.
And I was going to get her a snack, and I walk into Clix, and I see the chocolates, and I remember this advert.
Yeah.
Obvious.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, it's because every single time I want to say something is obvious, I go, Lechba. So still, but the younger generation don't get it.
No.
They're like, what are you talking about? What lunch bar, right?
No.
But I still say lunch bar.
And then
years later, I think it just stuck with me since I was a child. And so, oh yes, you are loved.
We arrange a prayer. The lunch bar.
Yeah.
But it's obvious.
It's obvious.
Okay.
Yeah.
You get a piece.
There you go.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right.
I'm done with guys.
Okay. Another heartfelt topic that's very close to my heart that still touches me deeply. Okay. Thank you so much for coming through. And I always love engaging with you. There's just some kind of validation that you always give me.
Yeah.
That I'm not crazy.
Yeah.
This was not okay.
Yeah.
You know, what she said or what this person said was not okay. I'm not going out of my mind.
Yeah.
And I always enjoy those conversations with you. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you for having me.
Another heartfelt topic that's very close to my heart that still touches me deeply. Once again, I remember when I shared her first book on social media and everyone, we can relate. And it was so fascinating for me because we usually refer to daddy issues. And we never referred to mother wound. So I'm hoping today you got a clearer picture of what a mother wound is. And I wish you healing. I wish you love. And I wish you support. Thank you so much for joining me today. I hope you really enjoyed this episode. Please catch this episode and many others wherever you get your podcast.
Until next time, I've been your host, Nozibele Pamanamayaba. Don't hold back. Say it loud.